Recorded live.
Yay.
Hey, good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, everyone, to another year. That's right, year number three. We're starting on it. Congratulations. Woohoo! Yay! Hey, to the crew of the www.householdstress.com crew. We made it. We're still here. We're still alive. We're doing a lot of great things coming into this new year. You're going to enjoy the topics. The topics are going to get tougher and better and stronger. I think we're going to bring on more people. You're going to hear a lot more communicating. We're going to do things a little different than what we do. We're going to bring more fun in this, but we're going to also continue with our mission, which is that, and we just want to give everybody an update on what our mission is. And let's keep relationships together at all costs, you know. Let's get through all the kinks. Let's find topics that affects the marriage and or the relationship, and let's see how we can keep these things together. That's the whole goal of our call. That's the whole goal of our www.householdstress.com. So you can go to our website. You can see our mission statement. You can see our objectives, and you can see our past topics for the past 2 years. Again, my name is the head of household tonight. I'm also known as P-Town, Patrice, whatever you want to call me. We got a great topic for you starting the year off. And our topic tonight is, my wife is making me lose my mind. Now, I don't know if y'all remember, there used to be a song out there saying, you about to make me lose my mind. Up in here. Well, I'm about to go all out up in here. So that one little song had a little meaning to it. I mean, it was like, hey, you're going to make me hype. You're going to make me do things I'm not usually expected to do. You know, it's not out of my character. Or there's things that, you know, this music is making me change my whole chemistry. Now, let's put that type of same thought into our relationship, you know. And I put it out there on the website if you've seen it, and also there are some emails that went out, and it's on Facebook. And some questions we have out there is, you know what? You are getting on my last nerves. Have we ever said that? Have we stayed in the mirror? Have we said it under our breath? Have we said it directly to our spouses? You getting on my last nerve. You are not making any sense to me. Who did I marry? What's up with this split personality? I just can't take how you are treating me right now. Have you said, thought, or want to leave due to any of these issues listed above that I just said? Then guess what? You're in the right place tonight. So let's get started. When we all met our spouse, we what? We noticed all the qualities in them, right? We found them appealing. We thought them as family-oriented, great with kids, good-looking, religious, honest, loving, sensitive, and a little freaky behind closed doors, if you know what I mean. That's what we enjoyed about our spouse. That's what we enjoy about them right now. But as time goes on through the relationship, through the marriage, those qualities have been overshadowed by her self-centered ways or your spouse's self-centered ways. It just seems like our lives or our life priorities become or are very different. They either become or they're just very different. You know, we agree on a lot of things, then we don't agree on a lot of things on a day-to-day basis. And it can be a whole lot of situations. So, you know what? I have a question for you. Why is it that we cannot have the same priorities? Why is it that our priorities are just totally different? Can anybody answer that question?
Because we're two different people.
Two different people.
Yep.
So what you're saying is like that saying that there's a book out there, you know, men are for Mars and or women are for Venus or something like that. That's what you're saying, right?
Yep.
We just brought up differently.
Yep.
So we never going to really, it's going to be hard to find somebody who is just like you.
Of course. Even if you got siblings that are not even alike, raised in the same household by the same parents, so same, you know, upbringing, sort of, but you can have twins that are not the same, so that'll never happen.
Yeah, you know, when you're right, because I was just telling some folks at work tonight about our pastor at church. He's a twin, and just one happens that he's short, and the other one's like, he's like 5'2", and the other one's like 6'4". And it's just how amazing, and I have nephews, one is taller than the other, and they're brought up same mother, same household, same upbringing, just like you just said, but you're looking at two totally different people. How does that happen? And does that affect your mind thought? Does that affect our mind process? Well, let me say it this way. Is it harder to compromise with your wife because of this? Because she's
because of the way you brought up?
Yeah. Because, you know, you got two different upbringings.
I think there may be some truth to that. I think that it may be a little more difficult to compromise when they're used to a certain way that their family did it, whatever they did, or their father or mother, and then you got a whole nother set of examples of how your family did it, and it might be like a tug of war, you know.
I think it's hard to compromise, period, with anybody, whether it be your spouse, your wife, or, you know, anybody, because we're naturally selfish. As humans.
So we're naturally selfish. So selfishness, I mean, we talked about that at the beginning. I mean, those self-centered ways, can you expand on that? I mean, because we're selfish, does that affect why we will probably get upset in situations that don't go our way?
Absolutely.
Hey, did we start the recording?
Yeah,
we started the recording. Because I'll be honest with you, I'll tell you one thing. At the beginning, when you know, my wife and I first got married, you know, we lived in North Carolina, so she didn't have too many friends down there in North Carolina when we first moved away from school. So, and at that time, they didn't have any free long distance or anything like that. So she would talk to her mother every night. And I'd be like, good grief, how many times, you know, about 3-4 times a day. I mean, how many times you going to talk to your mama? You know, this bill is driving me up a wall. I mean, can we get on a schedule or something? But that's just what she liked to do. But in my mind, I was thinking something different. I was like, look, we could be doing other things, but you on the phone. You spending more time on the phone than, you know, it was almost a jealousy type of thing when we first got married. Because I felt like she was always on the phone. So where am I supposed to be? And then my aunt ran through that. Is that a frustrating thing, the phone?
It can be. It can be. And I think like what Rodney said, you know, we're selfish people. And I find myself the same way and even a little hypocritical when dealing with my wife because, you know, I could be on the phone talking to one of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
The moment she get on the phone and it's on my time, it's a problem.
But, yeah, it gets on your nerves, right? You be like, hold on now, just getting on my nerves now. You got to do something about this phone.
I don't like the phone. I don't like the texting, even texting. And, you know, it's innocent, but sometimes that bothers me too. It's like, man, who's she texting? she with me now. You know what I mean? We chilling and you in the car. We riding in the car. We might not even be talking, but she might be texting.
Yeah.
You know, or, and there's nothing nice to it, but still, you know, it's like, okay, but it's my time.
Yeah, it goes into your time. So you get frustrated and upset almost to the point where you lose your mind because their focus is not on you. Their focus has been turned to this phone, either if it's texting or just being on the phone.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I don't have that problem. My wife don't talk on the phone.
My wife is addicted to the iPad.
Uh-oh. But there, yeah. So, it's like, for me, and you know, I'm a hypocrite too, because my wife, it gets on her, my phone gets on her nerves.
Mm-hmm.
My work phone.
Yeah. And you need that.
You know, I need that so I can make sure the light's on, but mine rings every 3 seconds for some type of reason. If it's an email or if there's some type of service that's going on, it automatically is all ringing all night. So she's like, don't put that thing on ringing because it drives me crazy. So if she could hide my phone and get rid of my phone and knew I wouldn't get in trouble, I think my phone would have been the first thing to go.
Yeah. I mean, you know, honestly, it just seems like no matter what we do, there's going to be some drama somewhere on both sides.
There's going to be some drama.
Yeah. The big thing in reference to this topic, though, the split personality part.
Uh-oh.
That's
ready to hit that one right now.
Yeah, we might as well go ahead and just jump into it. that's the thing that drives me bonkers. You know, when it's like my wife's got, she's two people. Legitimately two people. She's two people.
That's all?
Yeah, two people. But extreme. And one is the best fun-loving person you want to hang out with. And the next one is, I got to leave the room. I need to get away from you for a minute. You know, and it goes, it can go like a light switch. Bam. You know, and for me, you know, you got to take the good and the bad in it. You have to when you're married. But sometimes you get to the point where, like, okay, who's showing up today? And why did person number two show up today? What did I do to make person number two show up? You know, or is it just you having a bad day? What, you know, it's something I said, something I did. And then you get to that point where you did something, but you don't know that you did something because nobody told you that you did something. So you got to deal with person number two anyway.
But, you know,
you know what I'm saying?
We're all like that, really.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't want to be bothered.
No, don't want to be bothered. No one want to be bothered. I mean, snapping. Just snapping, man. I can't do a whole lot of snapping. I can't do a whole lot of slick back talk. And I'm not just saying back talk like a kid back talk, but just nasty, sassy back talk. You know how women will do.
Yeah.
That's disrespect there.
I mean, it is. Not to the point where it's like, and don't get me wrong, it's not, I wouldn't say disrespectful. I would just say some women have more venom than others.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? If I could describe it that way, just venom. Just like when stuff don't go right, they react differently. And some...
They react
you know,
in anger and
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but
a lot of times it's unnecessary.
I wouldn't limit that to women. I would say people, because I've seen it on both sides.
Yeah.
I've seen it in me. There's times I come off in a way I shouldn't come off.
Yeah, me too.
Times my wife comes off in a way she shouldn't come off, but usually we catch it at some point and come back and you know, and step up and ask for forgiveness and, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, we all can get caught in a place.
Yeah.
Except Rodney when he's on Connects. But everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Connects. Isn't that your kid's Connects?
It's mine. I pay for it.
No, right. I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree with you. I pay for mine, too.
Right.
I think I play with it more than them. But.
But, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, though. I mean, it goes back to how we started this conversation, is that when you look at the good qualities in your person, but you never, when you're courting and getting married, you never really look at that other side.
You don't get that.
You don't get that.
You don't. You're not gonna get that because guess what happens when you get that? You Audi 5000.
But when you get
straight up, that'll ruin the whole. That's like Sybil. That's like looking at somebody like, wait a minute. Oh, I'm glad you let me know now, than later.
Yeah.
Who you really are.
But don't it get to the point where you just be like, I can't take this no more.
I can't take it no more.
You know, and you got to say something. And whenever it comes out, it just don't come out right, which makes
exactly.
The system work. I mean, it makes it worse, but you feel better getting it out.
Mm-hmm. Just like Chris Rock said. He said, I'm not telling you to wring her neck out, but I understand.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's one of those things that, I mean, is anger, you know.
I
used to say to myself, I say, how you go to bed mad and then wake up mad?
I'm telling you. It's more
to
life.
That just doesn't make sense to me.
Go ahead.
It drives me crazy. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
How does this happen?
Well, I think we have our moments too. And a lot of times they may come in our quiet time. And our quiet time may not be that quiet. It may be watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
It may be loud. You might have the surround sound banging watching the game or watching the fight or playing a game or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And it might be loud. But to you, that's my quiet time. That's how I'm quiet. That's how quiet time to us means leave me alone.
Right.
Let me have this time right here. Whether it's with the fellas, whether it's not, whether I'm, again, watching the game, whatever the case may be, but leave me alone. And sometimes they will intrude in that. And then they'll get that look or that attitude or that, you know I'm chilling, why are you coming now? You see what I'm saying? I think that sometimes that can be also disrespectful, too. I need to get an amen on that.
Yeah. I got it. Yeah, it's some nervous brothers on here.
Yeah, I mean, but aren't we entitled to have our moment? You know,
yeah.
We talked before when guys would get off work and they drive around the block for an hour before they came in the house, because that's the only time they can unwind is in that car. Because they know once they hit the door, it's like going back to another job.
Mm. It's like going back to another job. Somebody was going to say something?
I said, it's been so bad for me, I didn't want to come home.
Yeah, I mean, there's a time where you know you get ready to walk in something and you just like, let me drive around the block a little bit. Matter of fact, there's some folks that probably just go straight to the bar. Just be like, man, I'm going straight to happy hour.
Right, day after day, man, month after month, year after year, it gets old.
But when did that start, I guess? You know, did you notice that when you were dating and then it just, you know, came out more? I mean, you had to start noticing some of those tendencies before you got married, I would hope, that it just,
well,
you know, didn't come out of the blue.
I got married on the hump, you know, so that wasn't like that kind of deal. Got caught up catching the cookies, you know?
Yeah.
But do sometimes... Do you look beyond that and say, oh, this is temporarily, it's a temporary thing, so I'm not going to be too much concerned about it, because it should go away.
I think it's only problematic if the bad outweighs the good. I mean, if you really looking at it from that standpoint, you know, you take out a sheet of paper and draw a line in the middle, and if you got the bad, you know, more cons than pros, then I think that's when it becomes problematic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the light at the end of the tunnel is a train coming for you, it's kind of hard to look at it positively.
Yeah.
If you don't have somebody that's fighting with you, marriage, and the person that you're with is fighting against you, it can be really frustrating.
Yeah.
But I think you can still have all those things. You can have your road dog, you can have your better half and all that. But there's still those moments, you know, they can be fighting with you 98% of the time. Then those 2%, you're like, who are you? And where did you come from? And
yep.
How do I get my woman back?
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, who's this representative? And it goes back to, you know, when you fussing, there's been times where you've probably been mad, you just go in the bathroom, look in the mirror yourself and say, what did I just get myself into?
And you know what I've learned during those times? Because, you know, my wife and I have a great marriage, and during those times, which still happen, I have to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, that's your child. Because if I say what's in my mind, it's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Because those things happen, and things come into my mind, and if I open my mouth at that time, it's not going to be positive. And then there's going to be major repercussions for a long period.
Yeah.
But can I ask a question?
Everything.
When do we have to flip the coin and look at it and say, what did I do to make her this way? It has to be something I did or
well, first,
I was doing
well,
that has frustrated her.
We are only responsible for our, you know, our actions. Nobody can make us react any kind of way. Okay, somebody can't make you mad. You decide to get mad, that's your reaction to the situation. And somebody can decide to get upset and react a certain way to you, but that's their choice. Now, how you react to that, that's your choice. And if you want it to escalate, then you react in a negative way. What I've learned, if I react out of that same anger, which I have at times, it's never good.
No, it's never good when we fight anger with anger.
And there comes a time in a marriage that we've got to learn to shut our mouths and walk away. And as men and men of God, we're responsible.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
In the household, we are the stronger vessel. They're the weaker ones, and we can crush them. And emotionally, women, they're not made like we are. And we have got to step up during those times and take it to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? You know, I'm about to lose my mind up in here. I'm going to smack the living snot out of her.
Well, because one of the things I was thinking about when we were looking at this topic was that isn't this how verbal abuse to our women comes along?
That's exactly right.
Because,
have,
you know, they go through things, we don't understand it, so we do what we do best.
But we have a choice to make at that point. Okay, at that point, we have a choice of how we're going to react when it's thrown to us. And if we react in a certain way when it's thrown at us, even if they're wrong, if we react in a negative way toward that, it's going to exacerbate the situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of us have been pushed, and we all have buttons, and the longer you're with somebody, they know all the buttons to push. Just like we know the buttons to push. But the real man has to stand up and say, wait a minute, this family is my responsibility. And I'm not going to bed mad and waking up mad. We're not going 2 weeks and not speaking to each other.
Well, let me take it just another step. Because when you say buttons to push, and they do know the buttons to push, to me that sounds like it could also be intentionally pissing you off.
Yep.
Which happens. But what about the ones that aren't intentionally pissing you off? They just have a nasty streak. They just have a nasty side of them.
Well, that's
and
the
it's just who they are.
You got to beat them.
Yeah, now we're recording.
I'm not telling you.
As moderator, I got to say, we don't promote violence on this call.
But I understand.
But again, I say, I mean, did that show up prior to the marriage?
Sometimes it doesn't, because you're in that courting stage. You're in that honeymoon stage. This stuff, when we're talking about marriage here, is these are the things that you go through in that first five. I call marriage in phases. You know, the first five, and this could be me. You're still learning your spouse in the honeymoon stage, because mm-hmm. you went from courting, having sex, swinging off the walls, going out, movies every night, holding hands, telling them how beautiful they are, on, you know, and then you say, will you marry me? And you know, you're still in that happy mode, and you're getting things together, and you're both, that's great, let's get a house, let's do this, let's work this thing out, ooh, we got a baby. That's the first 5 years. Then you get into that 6 through 10 years, and that's when you get the, you're getting on my nerves. I'm starting to figure out, I hate when she does this. That word, which, I tell my wife all the time, let's use another word. I don't like the hate word.
Oh, you got that right.
But, you're getting that point where now the bills are starting to pack up, the kids are getting older, you got more responsibilities. And these responsibilities, you know, now you have to change the way you live, how you dress, how you act, the friends you have, and you have these more responsibilities, and I think that's when it gets tough, when the pressure hits. It's when that responsibilities is making people upset, because they're thinking, as we said earlier, of the way they were brought up,
mm-hmm.
and this is how we should do things. And you can be like, no, this, you're getting on my nerves now. I'm telling you, we need to do this. And now you got the man-woman who, do I listen to what my wife says, or do I learn to compromise? And at the beginning, it's hard for a man to say, you know what, you're right. We always want to, because we want to show that we're the superior being in the house. I think we want to show that we can do it. Let us as men handle our business. And when they put in their input, we get upset.
Yeah, but I still say that it was evident prior to the marriage, and it's only magnified after the marriage.
Yeah, but you know, you could see a woman and like I don't like a passive woman at all.
Right.
Don't like a passive woman. I like a woman that's aggressive, that she's not waiting for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's not going to take a whole lot of mess from no one. You know, and that to me is a quality. But that quality can backfire and bite you.
Right. Cause
because
both
then
ways.
You, it works both ways, because then you could be that person.
Yep.
you know what I'm saying? You're like, uh-oh, she's not taking any mess off of me either.
Yeah. You're not getting that passive. My wife is nowhere close to being passive. She said, I ain't taking that mess off you.
Exactly. And then sometimes we do things with, we all, and I don't really even know that we do these things, but we're accused of doing things that we have no idea that we've done. And then we get an attitude. It's like, okay, can you please tell me what the attitude is for? Because I don't know.
Like, we're supposed to know.
Yeah, last Tuesday, you was on a call too long. Or you know, and you're like, wait a minute. Today's Thursday of the next week.
She was holding that.
You see what I'm saying?
That
we can let stuff go, you know. Yeah.
But I think you have to really, I mean, that's a prime example of maybe in that instance, that scenario, maybe just being on the call was too long. I mean, despite the fact that, you know, maybe it ran late or whatever the case may be, maybe that wasn't even the issue.
Maybe that wasn't the issue. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe it's something that
maybe she was ready for round two and she had to wait.
Yeah.
You have that grudge when you was ready for round two and then brought it up.
Yeah.
On that week. Hey, you remember last week? I'm going to make you wait.
Yeah, yeah. I want to ask a question because last night we had a conference call and we were talking to the lady side, and one of them made a comment that our call, we get on the call and vent. And I just want to throw the question, is it a bad thing that we get on this call and vent? Because we do.
I can't believe that they even trying to control the call. They control everything else. Everything else they control. And see, somebody that says something like that don't vent enough on their call.
Mm-hmm. You must be.
Yeah. See, that's right back at whoever threw that stone. And, you know, they throwing rocks in high and air. Come on now.
Yeah. So they need to vent more.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, I mean,
they mad because we open.
We open. We open. 24 hours, like 7-Eleven. We open.
And
well,
it ain't
pretty
sometimes.
But see, we can be open here.
Right. That's what I was about to say.
Which necessarily might be open in our own situation.
And it's the opposite. With them, with they're open during the day, you know, and then by the time they're, you know, on their show, they're not as open because they've been open all day. Whereas with us, it's like we've been doing, we got other things on our minds. So then we come here and it's like, I need to get some stuff off my chest. You know?
Exactly. Exactly. And while listening to somebody else get the stuff off their chest who sounds just like you.
Right. Mm.
I think that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of holding it in.
Yeah,
and that's when you end up, you know, getting a charge because you've been holding it so long. You got to strangle somebody.
Yeah, I mean, but that's where we are right now. I mean, we do things. I mean, we brought up the point where we talked about, you know, women are from Venus and men are from Mars. Is that I think we just do things totally different. And that conflict, it just pisses us off. It makes, you know, it's like, look, when we see things somebody say the word for me. Yeah, get it out for me. Thank you. And they think emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, we see the whole picture and they looking straight forward. We can see, you know, so I think that comes a big part of this conversation, and I think it, you know, we got to figure out a way, and that's what we want to make this call is how do we stop that issue in our home where we're always upset with our spouse? How do we communicate better so that we won't have to keep saying, my wife is making me lose my mind on some of the things that we do? And we talked about responsibilities, but my wife is making me lose my mind on finances. Let's bring it there. You know, you come home one day and like, oh yeah, I saw these boots. They $400, but I got them on sale for $350.
Sounds like she saved you $50.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a great sale.
My wife suffered from the same disease.
We're going to have to put a name on it.
Mm-hmm. But it affects her money, though.
Is there some issues with that that comes from men? I mean, my wife is like the Federal Reserve. She likes reserve all her money. So I don't have that issue, but I was just saying it because I know I had a sister who loves to shop.
Mm-hmm.
She'll find every deal, but she'll go out there and shop all day and all night. So I'm wondering if there's anybody here who's having that, and that if that's a reason to say my wife, this is what's making my wife making me lose my mind, it's because of her shopping habit.
I mean, my wife's shopping habit is not making me lose my mind. It's, you know, it's something that I knew that she liked before I married her. And as long as it doesn't affect the things that we have to do jointly, then that's fine. Like, she does it with her money. But, you know, hey, if it was like a typical Leave It to Beaver situation where I was Ward and I was working and bringing home the money and it was, oh, yeah, it'd be a wrap. Because she gets emails, like, every 15 minutes from, like, stores and stuff.
They got her on the list.
Man, oh, my God. Do they?
Frequent shopper.
It is crazy. It's crazy.
It's and where do you put all the stuff, though? I mean, you know, when people do that, it's just like, okay, got, you know, then it becomes a storage issue with all that shopping.
Now, my wife does have a friend. Now, my wife is fine as far as the storage goes, but her friend is a classic hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
And so her friend will buy people gifts but won't give them to people.
Just buy the gifts and just leave them in the house.
Yeah, and her house is like filled to the brim with just junk.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
Crazy.
Is it still in the packaging?
Yeah, a lot of stuff still in the packaging.
Where she live at?
She live in D.C.
Not
in Kingsview. She don't live in Kingsview.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She might be like, yeah, let me get that for $8. It's still in the wrapping, you know.
Yeah, but she won't part with the stuff. It's like she refused to get rid of anything.
Mm. Yeah, that's a whole nother issue there, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry to get off subject. But.
No, it's all good. That's
no,
just,
that's
I'm just
saying,
you know.
That's, I mean, hey, I'm trying to tell you, that we in somebody's driveway right now. I'm waiting for
They won't jump out there. They on the phone.
Huh?
They on the phone. They just won't get out there.
Yeah.
You in my front yard. You ain't quite in my driveway because it ain't messing with my marriage, but you in my front yard.
Throwing rocks at the window?
Yeah, you talking to me through the window. You ain't in the garage. You ain't in the driveway just yet and getting out the car, but you close.
Has anybody other habits? Is there something about your wife's habits that drives you crazy? I know. I would say like this. Sleeping habits.
Yes.
Sleeping habits. How does that go?
Yeah, how does that work? Y'all have to explain
that one.
Yes. Let me tell y'all.
Testify.
I have a light sleeper for a wife. Right, light sleeper, and she it's out in the open, you know, she can hear the dog walk up and down the steps from a dream. You know, you can't make any noise. Like if I go into the room while she's in there asleep, it's gonna wake her up. Last night, I think she probably went to bed. Let's probably say 10:30. I probably went in there. I don't know, about 12 o'clock?
Yeah, maybe 12:30.
Probably about 12:30, right?
Yeah.
And then in her sleep, she said, I'm about to punch you in your face in 2 seconds. In her sleep.
Whoa.
But listen. I've never, ever heard her say that, ever. She said it in her sleep. And I just started cracking up because it was hilarious to me. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm saying. The sleep, to me, it gets to a point where it's like I can't do anything.
Wow.
I'm planning this Aruba trip.
Yeah, that I can believe that.
Yeah.
That right there is, I don't know, there's sometimes I walk off the steps and the wife be asleep and then all of a sudden I hit one of those little spots in the carpet. That's just jump right on.
I know what you're talking about. That's what I deal with.
But yeah, I mean, but, you know, but it could be other things. It could be, for me, it's like when I get up there, and once in a while, she'd be on my side of the bed. And be like, all this bed, how you on my side of the bed? No, I'm ready to get in the bed. How I'm going to get in the bed? I have to wake you up and push you over there to your side. because you sleeping on my pillow.
Well, that's not a bad thing, man. I mean, she was waiting for you.
Yeah, she was waiting.
You know, that's where you're going to be at.
But you ain't sleeping. You just want to get up there. But, you know, she can come back and tell you. She probably on the other on the women's call telling them, if my husband don't stop when he comes in the house and get naked downstairs and leave his belt on or something, shoes downstairs, and I have to
you're my, you're my driveway.
I'm in somebody's driveway. Cause they
you in everybody's driveway on that one, brother.
You talking about
when
stuff.
I come in, I don't feel like going upstairs.
It'd be a trail.
My knees hurt. I'm tired. I'm just going to get some drink and sit down somewhere. So I just strip right here. You know, take my, because I wear a suit and tie, so I take my tie off, throw it on the back of the chair or something. And then when I go upstairs, I kind of carry everything that I can at one time.
God help you if you leave something.
Yeah, God help me. I get in trouble every night, man. I'm serious.
Or
if I do go upstairs, I just don't feel like I see the closet right there. I can walk to the closet. But you know what? I just got to jump in this bed. I'm closer to the bed. I'm dropping what I got on right now and just going to bed, whatever, or go straight to the bathroom or something. Just when I come out, my side of the bed is closer to the bathroom door. So her side is the closet side. So I come out the bathroom, the bed right there, jumping in it. I get up and I'll hang my stuff up in the morning.
Mm. But I think those are just natural issues in
well,
a marriage.
Let me tell y'all what I'm dealing with. This is the directions to my house. I got a person. She is a neat freak. Keeps the house spotless.
Oh, that's my wife.
But can't nobody clean like she can clean.
Mm-hmm.
If you clean it, she going to go behind you and clean it over.
That's my
but
wife.
Always
right
complaining, but always complaining because ain't nobody trying to help her.
Wow.
Man, get out of my house.
That's what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, yeah, that's heavy, brother. That's heavy, brother.
Me and
because
the
even the help,
you don't know what to do.
Yeah, you got to stand there and fake like you're helping. Because when you start to work, she'll be like, no, I got it.
Yeah. You know,
just get out of the way. Just let me do it because you ain't going to do it right anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, hell, go on to do it then. It's your job anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't hit it with that, did you?
Yeah,
oh.
I do.
Oh.
I do.
Oh.
Yeah. I do.
No, I ain't never hit her with going.
Oh yeah,
that.
I hit her with that because I know I said when she in the bed
to.
And she hear a funny sound. Guess what? That's my job. See, now it's my job.
Mhm.
Or a big dog run across the street at her. See, now that's my job.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? Yeah.
You just have to do it wrong every time. Eventually, she stops asking.
I tried that. it's a catch-22, man. It don't work.
Yeah.
I had no idea how she, like, we read the five languages of love like several times. I had no idea how angry and hurt she would get by me just leaving my dang coat on the kitchen chair. This is a coat I'm going to wear every day.
Every day.
But this coat has got to be in the closet.
Mm.
Ain't that something?
I got the same thing, bro. I have the same chair too. It's right by the garage, and it's convenient for me. I drop it there.
Right.
I get it when I go. You know.
Yeah.
Why? Somebody explain to me why does the bed have to be made every morning?
That's
yeah, I agree. You know, I can't understand that one either. She makes the bed with me in the bed. and then she'll look at me and she'll ask me, why did you get up? I like, as hell, we don't have a chair in our bedroom yet, so it, like, hell, I ain't got nowhere to sit, so you make a chair, so what else can I do?
Yeah.
Oh, man, but I agree. I don't know why you make the bed. You're going to get right back in it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Can somebody explain that? I don't understand that.
Maybe
I got
some pillows
that I can't lay on. The, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, them pillows. That's what
I'm so sick of them damn pillows.
Them pillows right there would drive
that's an upbringing.
That is an upbringing, for sure. That means, you know, a lot of people grew up with that house, with that room, that with the plastic on stuff, and you can't nobody go in there but two times a year, Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Oh, I got a living room like that right now.
You got
that's
one?
The day. I got one right now. She just finished cleaning up in there. The rule goes back in place right now. They better not set foot in the living room.
What is that, man? Can somebody kind of... I never had that kind of room growing up, but I've heard of them. I've been to people's houses, and I don't really understand the significance of having a place where you can live, but you can't go in it.
Yeah, I had that growing up.
Let me tell you about my ex-wife. It was so bad that when she vacuumed the living room, you know the lines that the vacuum made?
Yes.
Wow.
What lines she would have a fit.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, the lines in the carpet from the vacuum.
So your wife put the little pattern in the carpet with the vacuum cleaner? And then she could tell if anybody stepped foot in there?
Yeah.
That's like an infrared security system up in that joint.
Right. Look, if the mortgage covers that room, I'm going to be in it.
Exactly.
Look, and there's going to be a flat screen TV on the wall.
No, that ain't happening. Okay. This will tell me everything I need to know right now. Who in here got a TV in their living room?
I did.
You did, or you still
do? I did. I had one. As soon as you come in, flat screen in the living room. And I removed it only because I was in there too much making a mess. And then that just doesn't look good when you have company over and it's your mess. You know, not anybody else. I'm there watching the game, leaving my, you know how we, you know, get undressed on the way. Well, yeah, I did a lot of that too. So, it got to the point where I said, you know, I'm going to move it down to the basement to my man cave, and that's where I am now. So she's got, you know, her living room back. But it's still not livable because without a TV in there, there's nothing to do in there.
Yeah, it's quiet.
It's quiet.
My wife wants to have Thanksgiving dinners in the living room.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know,
I think it's the same concept. I mean, to me, I'll talk about rooms, but I think it's the same concept when you have people that buy cars that sit in garages. I mean, if you're going to buy a car, then you need to drive the car.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just me. Because I just bought a car last week. And, you know, I hadn't bought a car for me in about 10 years. So I got everything on it. I mean, everything that come on it, it's on it, you know, literally. And, you know, it was a couple times where you're going to just like, I'm driving my car. I'm driving the car I bought. I bought it to drive. Raining, snowing, I'm driving my car. So, with the whole room, you know, just getting back to what y'all were saying about the room that you can't go into. I don't want to, maybe somebody can explain to me buying a car that's just going to sit covered up. You know, only drive on a sunny day where the wind is blowing at, you know, three miles per hour from the east, you know, all that kind of stuff.
About the miles because once you drive it off the lot, it already lost
exactly.
About $4,000. So.
Exactly. You better drive.
See, Rodney, I didn't know they made minivans with everything on it.
No, that's what I'm wondering. That's exactly what I'm wondering.
That's good. No, but I already got a minivan. You know, I got a truck this time. You know, I already got the minivan. That's my wife's car.
Just messing with you, man.
Yeah. That's good.
You got a swagger wagon.
Good. It's almost 10 o'clock, but I'm going to hold off on the monkey wrench right now. I want to bring on the habits about work. You know, is there anything that pisses you off about your wife's work habits?
I can just say this. My wife has the job I want. She got the days off. She got the ease of promotion. She got the low stress. Me, I can't take leave, even though it's my government leave. I got to travel. I hate traveling. I mean, it's crazy. The tub job is the job I want. I want my wife's job. And then she come home and complain about it to me.
Yeah.
Knowing doggone well, I got no sympathy for her. None. Because I don't get to work from home. If they can't see me, I ain't working.
So, yeah. Well, I don't have any problems. You know, mine is totally different than mine. There's probably times because my wife, you know, for about 14 years of her career, she was in retail, right? And then the other, she's been in the hospital. So, you know, sometimes she's at a high-stress job. And sometimes, you know, that may come into the household. So that personality we talked about earlier may jump off and you'd be like, well, what's wrong? And then so once they get it out their system, they're pretty good. But sometimes, you know, you got your own stress when you first come in the house or something, and, you know, you got the kids to deal with and other things, and that can escalate theirs. And then you have yours. That's just a nice little treatment for a night of disaster at the end of the night. So, you know, you have that solid treatment for a while where, all right, you calm down, I calm down with my job, and then now we let it go and then talk about it, and then we get it out the way. So now, you know, sometimes we call each other right when we leave work on the way home, and we talk about our, you know, the makeup of that is we talk about that stress on the phone before we get home. So by the time we get home, it's out of our system.
So your wife takes
time to listen? Because at first, it was just stressful, man. I'd be like, man, you know, you got yours, I got mine. We got a whole lot of stress going on in this house. Ain't nothing about it happy.
So your wife would take time to listen to you?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
We learned both. I think we both learned to listen to each other.
Mm.
Mm.
That's from householdstress.com.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
yeah,
that was our bidding, is doing it over the phone. And I mean, we follow up over at home, but it's not as stressful when you get in the house and talk about it.
Yeah.
Because you done got that, because the kids are around, you done did all the cussing and all the hoopla on the phone on how you felt about your work day.
Mm-hmm. That's good words.
I think that's very instrumental, too, to make that call.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To make that call prior to getting into the house. You know the time. You, I mean, because you know what time she get off work. You know what time she's in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're available, call and say, all right, you know, it's 5:10. You've been in the car 5 minutes. How was your day? Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Give them a chance to get it out the system so you'll have peace at the house.
Yeah.
So you ain't got to drive around the block before
you don't
coming
have to
in
drive,
the house.
There's no driving around the block worrying about, you know, the anger that person had a bad day or something like that. It's beautiful coming home now, you know, just because we do that now.
That's good words.
Wow, yeah.
Good
words. That was, you know, at one time, I mean, I had my stress, she had her stress. That was a big issue.
I think that's in most situations, though, you know, people bringing it home.
That's because everybody needs some debrief time.
Debrief
time. And
yeah, there it is.
One thing about, I know when I come home, I got three ladies at the house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, have mercy. I got two. I can only imagine three.
Yeah. I got two of them too, man.
And one thing about it, everybody wants to talk to me at the same time.
Yes.
And hold different conversations about multiple subjects. So it's literally like, okay. And it's a good thing, like, I don't need a lot of debrief time. You know, I got a 15-20 minute commute, so that's my debrief time. But I guess I'm to the point where I don't have to, you know, drive around the block. You know, I make sure I'm home at a regular time. But I just have the expectation that's just how it's going to be. And, you know, some days I'm just like, oh, my gosh, you know, everybody's talking to me. It's like I had a, you know, rough day or whatever. It's like I don't want to deal with it. But, you know, most days I just come in, you know, with the expectation. It's like, all right, what you got to say? What you got to say? How was your day? You know, it's just, and things just going on like that for the first 30 minutes to an hour when we get home. So
that's every day, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a routine. It's not. I mean, at least you know.
Yeah.
You know what's coming.
Sometimes you gotta watch it now, because when you get the kids get older, they want to be nosy.
Yeah, that's how my 7-year-old is. We talk about what we doing.
My 7-year-old knows it too.
Yeah, it's like we ain't even doing this until like a month from now. So please go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, with you know, they're all you know females, two daughters and a wife. I mean, that's how they express themselves is by talking. You know, so got to sort of yield to that and say, okay, what did you do on your little school project? Or, tell me about the library. You know, you got to sort of yield to that and you know put down. You know, your baggage and stuff from work to sort of get that little time in. It's helpful.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I tell my coworkers, man, y'all not going to stress me out. I'm dead serious when I tell them, y'all not going to. There's nothing you going to tell me that's going to make me upset or stress me out up in here. You know, and I put my job in this, you know, in a category, you know, like too much stress. Y'all can have it, I'm gone. Because, you know, it's just not worth it when you go home and you taking your job with you. Spend enough time in there. Then I got to go home and still think about what XYZ did and how XYZ treated you and what's going to happen tomorrow and all that. You know, you can't let those people, you know, mess up, because they'll mess up your home life if you let them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because their home life messed up.
One girl said to me the other day, why are you so happy? I said, you should be happy too. You should try it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's funny.
You know, you should try it. Try being happy.
Mm.
You know?
That's a good word, because, I mean, I think we just hit everybody's doorstep on that one.
He definitely hit mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have been starting doing some things, like, it's funny you should say that, but like a couple of weekends ago, like before the Christmas break, I was always getting on the laptop, getting on the work laptop Sunday, you know, checking emails or working, and I stopped doing it. And so, you know, it's like a new thing that I stopped doing, you know. I only deal with it when I'm paid to deal with it. You know, I'm not taking that mess home and trying to work and all the other stuff. You know, life's too short.
It is.
You know, it really is.
It is. And I need to take care of that, because last night I was up at 2 o'clock doing 6 people's evaluations.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know.
Yep.
And then trying to get my own in.
And you know what, man? You start doing that, they're going to expect you to do it.
That's right.
I got a pretty good wife, man. It's great that she stayed up with it. She was doing her little thing on her computer, and we tend to try to stay up with each other and go to bed together. Every once in a while, she'll be on the one couch, I'll be on the other, and we wake up with a little drool both on the side of our lip. Because, you know, we just be exhausted from the day. You know, and we try to watch the TV together, watch a show or something. We may fall asleep on each other's shoulder and then get up and go to bed together. So we try to spend quality time each day, even after work. Even if somebody has to stay up and do extra things. That's that loving that we give each other.
I hear that, and I know that, you know, it's a good compromise, but at some point, it's got to be exhausting when it's, okay, I'm 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm still working on your time. Because that would drive me crazy. That would make me tell my wife to quit that job. I mean, seriously. I mean, if it were me, I have a hard enough time, the fact that my wife got to get up at the crack of dawn. And that when I come in, I'm going to wake her up. And if she has a, you know, broken sleep, she tells me her whole next day is bad. She didn't get a good night of sleep. So that right there is, you know, is enough for me to say, you know, you need to stop going back to that place.
Wow.
And go someplace else. Because I don't want to hear about your broken sleep making you have a bad day, because then that what? That comes back on me for not tiptoeing when I go into the room.
All right. I'm going to.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if it was another situation where it's like, okay, she's up working 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then you got to go the next day and go spend 8, 12 hours in there, I think that's a bit much on the marriage.
Okay.
Do you sleep light? Like when she wakes up? I mean, does she wake you up?
No. I'm out. I'm out. I need 2 alarm clocks to get me up.
Need 2 of them.
One across the room where you got to get up and go in.
You got to get up and walk and turn it off.
Yeah, you got to go there and get it off. Hey, I got one, and it's still, I jump back into bed sometimes. Like, man, I'm going to get this extra hour in. But listen, guys, it's 10:10, and let's go ahead on and get a little raunchy here. Not too much. But here it is. Just going to go out here and say it. No other way of putting it. My wife is making me mad when she gets me all hot and stops.
Hot and stops?
That's right.
Don't know nothing about that.
You know?
I can't relate to that.
And
I'm
like,
sure some
right.
brothers can relate to not getting hot.
let's put it that way. My wife is making me mad because she's not getting me hot. Let's put it that way. I don't know if I hit anybody's doorbell on
okay,
that.
Okay. Let me help you out with this.
Yeah, I might need some help.
I know I'm gonna be in some driveways on this one. Some of them don't say I am. Some of them ain't. Me and my wife sometimes get out of sync. When I'm really feeling it, she ain't feeling it. But instead of her doing like I do, going ahead, you know, like when she's feeling it, I'm not, I go ahead and satisfy her. When she's not feeling it, she makes the little comments.
Mm.
She makes the little, oh, okay, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's
okay.
Almost like, let's just go on and get
there
this how you doing out the way so I can go to bed.
Wow.
You're talking about chore sex, fellas.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, chore sex. Right. It's a chore.
Yeah. And it don't never work out right.
Never.
Never work out right.
And what happened to your most valuable player when you hear that come out of the house? It's just like,
you be better. Hey, look, you be better off
in the game.
Because you're going to wish you didn't do it.
Well, I mean, sometimes you got to go and take care of yourself. You just
I understand.
I think it's harder going to sleep like that, though. Pun intended. But, I mean, I think that, you know, like you said, it's no... You know, it's no passion in it. It's just like, oh, you know, is it over yet? You know, oh, gosh, can I go to sleep? And I think that we all think, it's like, yeah, I know she ain't in the mood, but I'm going to get in the mood, you know, that night, you know. And it's like, sometimes it happens, sometimes it don't. She's like, all right, good night.
Our difference between intimacy, I mean, we had a show on this, is about the difference between intimacy and actual sex.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Is that, you know, one wants to be passionate and one doesn't.
Yeah, but sometimes she just ain't feeling it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it don't matter. It's no matter what you do. You can put on Kim, light the candles. I mean, you can do the oil, everything, you know.
Right.
Talk about feelings, hold her. She trying to get it, man.
Hey, but I tell you what you do. You got to get, and Andrew know what I'm talking about. You got to get these games, and they're really, you remember them games you and your wife gave out, Andrew?
Yep.
Yeah, and those, it really, it's a game to get her, it's basically a game to get her in the mood. I mean, that's
you
all it is.
You win the eatable underwear?
Right.
Huh? No, I didn't get that.
Didn't you win the eatable underwear, or was that
No, I didn't get that.
How are you going to do that on a Monday night?
That's what I'm saying.
That's a lot
she
to be doing on like a weeknight. Where
if
you got
to go to bed and got to go to work in the morning and we're just
no,
playing
no
over
game.
With.
No,
you got to come to bed early. You got to come to bed early. You just
hey,
shut it down and, you know,
right.
Cut the game off. Or I mean, you just got to say, all right, you know,
yeah.
You got to bite the bullet. And then the game, it works. It gets her in the mood, I'm telling you. And it's a simple game. It's just like tic-tac-toe. I mean, it's basic, but you'd be surprised at how it really, it's like it takes their mind, you know, and gets them in that place versus, like you said, the talking, the emotions, the holding, you know, talking about the feelings, how was your day. That don't really work.
But Rodney, you make it sound like you can do this anytime, anywhere.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying anytime. I'm saying for those times, like the brother was saying, when she just ain't into it, it's like, well, let's just play the game. You know, let's play the game.
That ain't going to work for me, bro. All
right.
Look, don't lie until you try.
They know in the morning.
No,
they know in the morning that they... That they're not going to be in the mood that night.
Tony.
I'm just trying to tell you, man. They know in the morning that they want to get some that night.
Right.
Wait a minute. Because my wife was telling me yesterday that one of her coworkers, I guess she lives down the street from her house, she goes home every night. Every at lunch and everything else, and says, "Hey, I got to go get some for my husband, and then I'll be back."
Huh?
And rolls back into the office.
He going to get some from her boyfriend.
I gotta go back to Tony. Now, Tony, you said before she wipes the crust out of her eyes, she know you ain't getting none that night.
Listen. Okay. I only say that because I know. Because I know. Sometimes I will get the comment that she knew all day what was going to happen that night on a positive note. I would think the other way, you know what I'm saying? Just like Rodney said, you can play a game. If they got it in their mind that they're not going to be in the mood, they're not going to be in the mood.
Right.
But wait a minute. Personal flag.
Go ahead.
I got to ask y'all. Rodney.
What?
So every time you tried to play this game, it's done work.
Every time we play the game, it's work. But
no, every time you tried to play the game.
No. Absolutely not. I mean, I think the thing is, you don't bring out the game. You ask. You say, "Do you want to play the game?" And then sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no.
But if you got your MVP ready to go in the game.
But every time the game has been brought out, it's 100% successful.
Hey, look, next time, just say, do you want to have sex, yes or no?
No.
Like, sometimes you're going to say, we don't have to play the game. Right now, it's a guarantee. Let's go.
That's what I'm saying. All she got to do is just look at me and see what I'm ready to do. Let's do it.
But the game brings some of the passion back. It takes, you know, it takes the chore. It's not more. It's not a chore as much as a chore. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Where can I get the game?
You can call Andrew. Andrew got all kinds of crazy stuff. He'll tell you where to get it.
All right, then we're going to talk.
Now, you can't hold my game.
No, I won't hold your game.
But you know what? This is the topic that I think beats all other topics. This is the thing that's going to frustrate a man the most. The topic that we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I think that one's going to frustrate you more than anything else. You can almost get over the other stuff. Yeah. If this is presented as a solution from her, and your issue is money, and your issue is the job, and your issue is, you know, everything else, her cleaning habits and things like that, if she positions herself and puts this on the table, you forget about all that other stuff. At least for that moment.
Right.
You
right.
Don't forget about all that other stuff.
Yeah,
I don't deal with all that stuff. I don't care about that.
You don't care about shopping or nothing. It's like,
yeah,
whatever.
She handled my MVP. We good.
That's right. That's right.
You throw it in the sea of forgiveness. Like, whatever.
Please.
What was that we were arguing about?
Get a reprieve. Get
yeah.
a pass.
Yeah.
Do we get mad when they use that?
You forgot what you argued about.
Yeah, yeah. But see, Tony's problem is, you know, he's not in the bed in time messing up her sleep that night. So that's why when she wake up, she's like, you ain't getting none tonight.
Yeah. Basically.
So you got to rewind, brother, and you got to be in the bed, in place, lights off, you know, comatose. And then, you know, don't even move all night, you know, and then you know the next day. Like, yes, she got to sleep.
You got to go in there while she's doing her routine and mess
yeah.
it up. Say, no, no. Yep, yep. I got to be forceful tonight. Yeah, I got to be grown man.
Still
ain't
getting
up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do that because I said so.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got to be, you got, I mean, it's like a covert mission.
You know what? Do you want to know what really gets under my skin about my wife when it comes to that? When we, you know, because right now we in sync, everything is cool. But when we get out of sync, fellas, now I'm going to see if I really hit somebody the driveway. Does your wife sometimes say, well, you know, if you wanted me to take care of MVP, why didn't you just take it? Just go on and get it.
Oh,
no,
I ain't never had that.
No.
I ain't never had that.
Mine has told me that, but I know better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She lying.
I know she lying.
That
woman
up.
In a dead sleep and wake up to me doing,
right.
Man, please.
Exactly.
And it's always after the fact when they make that statement.
Yeah, they make it a week later. Like,
a week later.
Yeah. It's like, what? Yeah, right. Get out of here.
That's something they say in the heat of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime, baby. Anytime. You just say,
yeah.
Wake me up. And
yeah.
When they say it, like, you out somewhere. It's like, oh, yeah, you could have just. And it's like, yeah, they won't say it, you know, close to the bedroom, because I mean, it's like, well, you know, I'm gonna take you up on that right now.
Yeah, she
that?
Know when to say it, cause she knows she's
yeah,
close.
Yeah, at the gas station 20 miles away. Oh yeah, you could have just took it. Like what? Wait, 20 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even get, you know, you want to get a room?
I know we got kids everywhere. She's like, hey, you know, they were looking at us. I'm like, you know, please.
But that's a parent. Does that cause any issues? You know, you get mad, you know, you're in the mood and the wife them threw on the flannel.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That don't bother
me. Hold on. What?
But look, he's got a point. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
You
got
like
a point.
Tea. You short.
You think that flannel
or
plan just came
hard.
At night?
He said that the flannel came in the morning.
He's
like, I'm wearing flannel tonight.
She can wear a flannel. She can wear a potato sack. It don't matter.
But if your wife is used to wearing, let's say, a T-shirt and no panties or maybe some panties, and then she comes in the bed with the flannel gear on.
Yeah.
All I can do.
Tony said she's playing that in the morning. She laying out her clothes at work and laying out her nightwear. You see pajamas on the flannel pajamas on her ironing board.
She washed the clothes the night before purposely.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to tell y'all right now, flannel, rollers, none of that mess matter to me. If it's going down, it's going down.
What about the green?
Damn, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I live in reality.
You know, that's where the line is, the cold cream, huh?
I'm with you on that one, brother, for sure. None of that makes any difference.
Mm-hmm.
If
I got X-ray
down,
vision.
I'm down.
Yeah, I'll third that motion.
I'm going to tell you right now, your wife can have on flannel, some rollers, and some face cream, but let her be ready to do some of the freakiest stuff she ever did. You going to turn it down?
Like, no, you're wearing flannel tonight, honey. You know,
man,
no.
Please.
But
I don't want her to go and express herself.
Well, I don't want to take a man's topic, so I ain't going to say what I want to take, because that's going to be a topic for later on. But doing, you know, What about no to the you're mad because you're going through the same routine? Is that a problem in somebody's relationship? That it's the same old, same old?
Well, I'm told you say the wife saying that?
No, I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. I think so. I think that could be, if left unresolved, a huge problem down the line.
I disagree.
I'm just saying because for most men, we don't do well with boredom.
I disagree.
Okay.
And I say that I think it depends on the person because I'm a fan of routine. You know, literally, we got back, you know, everybody, you know, I enjoyed my vacay last week. You know, I was goofing off, literally, sleeping late, only went outside to check the mail. That was about it. But, I mean, literally, you know, we're back to the routine. You know, we got kids, activities this week. And, I was ready to get, I think everybody in the house was ready to get back to the routine. So I think it depends on the personalities involved. When you have somebody that's, you know, very spontaneous, you know, that's when the routine can get, you know, sort of like, come on, man, we're doing the same thing, got the same ballet, same piano, church activity, I mean, the same old every week, you know, we almost eat the same, pretty much the same meals every week, you know, it's just in different orders, but, I mean, it is a routine, and I think it can become boredom, or it make that person that's spontaneous bored. But even our date nights, you know, we're working on scheduling them for the month. You know, we got an agreement where we, you know, it's like tit for tat. We watch your kids, you watch our kids. So, I mean, that's all scheduled, you know, a month, you know, 2 months in advance, you know.
I don't think he's talking about anything other than in the bedroom. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Patrice.
Well,
are we still in the bedroom?
Bedroom. I mean, we can bring it out there, I mean, but, yeah, I mean.
I thought we were out of the bedroom, my bad.
Let's stay in the bedroom for a minute.
Oh, routine in the bedroom. Oh, you should have said that. You should have said that.
Yeah.
Routine in the bedroom is boring.
I mean,
boring.
Somebody tried to hit me with the whole, you know, what's that commercial where the woman is talking to the husband like, man, I can't, we did some of the freakiest stuff and we was in the Bahamas. And then when they get back home, she like, I don't want to do nothing now. You know, she tried to hit me with that. You know, we need to go somewhere. And so I took her downstairs. I said, you know,
you take her to the man cave.
I took her to the man cave. Then you know what she said to me? She said, it was just like back when we was dating. Because, you know, the man cave set up kind of like my apartment was. So she like, that's just like when we used to date. I said, exactly. See, we ain't had to go nowhere. You know,
and had to spend no money.
Right.
Exactly.
No money.
Here's the difference from the boredom of the routine in the bedroom. The woman will say, she might not tell you it's a routine and she's bored by it. She just won't do nothing. She'll put them flannels on. She'll have it preconceived in her mind, like Tony said, that night you can forget it because it's the same old stuff. No, you ain't going to just lay on top of me with your fat self and just, you know, it ain't going. But a man, on the other hand, as much as we might not like it, we don't really care. Give us the routine, we're going to take it.
Right.
Well,
you know. Go ahead.
Right. No, I just think because we might not like it per se. We want something. We want our fantasies and we want this and we want that. Nonetheless, if she says, let's do, you'll assume the position.
Exactly,
yeah.
And I would say this, that you look at the weekly calendar, fellas, and for some of y'all that are on here quite regularly, you can cross off Tuesday night. And then you look over the course of the week, oh, we got this activity, oh, we got that, oh, she's working late, oh, I'm working late. By the time you look over the course of a 7-day week, you probably already scheduled it and not even realize it.
All right.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So it might be on the same. You look back over a month or a quarter or a year, it might be the same nights every week, and you don't even realize it.
Right, right.
Right, you're right.
But you know it's some nights that are off limits, like Tuesday.
You're right.
You might get lucky,
but probably not. But guess what? We realize it. We do realize it.
Right.
But you're 100% correct. It's probably set up to be the same, and that right there can get boring.
Absolutely.
Can it though? I think that goes back to what I said earlier about the personality. And I think I agree with Rodney, the other Rodney there. I mean, if you can get it, just because it's on the same night, if you can get it every Monday night, you're going to be like, oh, this is boring. I mean, really, you're not going to say that. If you know every Monday night is cooking, you ain't going to be like, ah, no, I don't want it this Monday. I want it on Wednesday.
Look, you're going to finish your dinner quick.
Exactly. Get ready. Right, operation under the covers, ready to go.
You gonna set the TiVo and everything, and you gonna go upstairs.
It was already standard and set, man.
Hey, but listen. If you real hungry, you gonna eat some liver and cauliflower too, aren't you?
Oh man, that's
right.
Good words.
You gonna eat some crackers with sardines if you're real hungry, right?
Oh, with some mustard.
Yeah. So, man, I'm gonna keep it going. It's 10:30. And I'm just gonna break it down. My wife is making me lose my mind because she wants me to do her, but she don't want to do me.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
My wife is making me lose my mind because she wants me to do her, but she don't want to do me.
What are you talking about? 68.
Are you talking about OU1?
Yeah.
68 and I owe you one. Yeah, that's exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly what I.
Yeah.
I know y'all in somebody's driveway. Y'all in somebody's driveway.
Yeah.
I cured that problem. I had to cure that problem. It was a matter of national security. That was number one on the president's list right there. Before, as soon as I took office, this is one thing. We This was like the deficit. This is like the health care right here. We need some reform up in this house.
That's right.
I talked about it earlier. I mean, one of the things we loved about the women that we marry or we have a relationship with is that, you know, we love how sensitive they are, how they're good with kids and how clean they are and all this other stuff. But we also fell in love with that freak behind the closed doors.
Hopefully.
Right, hopefully. And over the years, it's not that same experience. Do we always look for what we had at the beginning, at the end of the relationship, or in the middle of our relationship? Do we want that same thing? Or do we look for something? Do we try to look for something different?
How hard
I think
is
the best way to answer that question is
it's a tough question.
You should at least maintain the standard that you came in with. You don't go backwards.
At least that.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like if we used to giving a certain amount, then keep that amount up. I mean, if you add on to it, great. But if you don't go worse than what you were giving.
Yeah.
P, what your mama used to say, don't start none.
That you can't finish.
There you go.
That you can't keep up.
That you can't keep up.
Right.
And that's the thing. I think for women, like, that's a big part about it because we talked about this on the call, too. As guys, I mean, the physical side of things is an important piece. So if you're not willing to keep that pace, at least with where you were when we were dating or whatever, don't set that standard. You know, don't set that standard because it goes back to the routine. If every Monday you doing this trick,
mm-hmm.
for that trick on Monday, don't come in with some puppet show.
Yeah.
That's not going to cut it.
Because I brought that up last night. We were having a team conference call. And one of the things we brought up was, then it's simple. Once you try something with a man and we like it,
stick with it.
Don't take it away from us.
That's right.
Then we're going to think we're being punished.
Stick with it.
Yep. It's so simple. Cat Williams said it. I mean, I know this is a Christian call, but in the comedy set, he said, if he drink Hennessy, that's what he drink.
That's what he drink.
That's right.
That's what he drinks.
That's what he drinks, and that's just true to all men. So any women who's coming to listen to this call after it's recorded has stopped. Understand that.
I would like to, you know, that's a good point, brothers. I just want to say this. I know this is a Christian show, but to any women that are listening to this recording, that thing that your husband like or boyfriend like for you to do that you ain't doing that much of, go on and just do it tonight. Just listen to the sound of my voice. Get it in. Make him happy. He earned it. Go on.
Or you might get a car or something out of it. You never know. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, it ain't like it's going to hurt you.
You want to see a teddy bear and a man and just make them happy.
Yeah, absolutely. It won't hurt you.
I mean, because of the fact of the matter, we're thinking about it every single day that it's not happening.
Yep.
That's right.
Every single
again,
day
it's
not happening, we're thinking about it. We may not say nothing, but guarantee we are thinking about it.
And you know what? I want to just put this out here, too. The biggest problem, I think, with our, you know, not problem, but the issue with our black women is that somewhere along in their upbringing, you know, they've just been taught, you know that's what he wants. You do that for him to get him. But once you get him, you stop. You know, you don't keep it up. And then you wonder why, you know, these Beckys or whatever can just come in and just kick the doors down. it's because you're not embracing your sexuality and embracing the power that you have with that. I mean, you know, you're trying to use it like a ration, and that's
right.
The kind of approach. Don't try to ration that out. You know,
you might need to give them special gifts like knee pads.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I wouldn't limit that to black women though.
Yeah, right. You know, some women, they have a phobia. You know, they cross a bridge. You know, can't do that.
Tony's
wrong with that.
You know why I'm laughing, and I'm not going to say why I'm laughing.
Right.
<I'm> probably <right. too.
laughs> You laugh for the same reason I am.
I'm laughing the same reason you laugh.
Wow.
Yes. That is not a race-specific issue.
somebody's married to a baby.
But, man, we're having a good time on this. But I would just love to hear what really, I mean, because I believe women need to hear this. I mean, from each person on this call, what just, in your own mind, in your own marriage, you know, your own relationship, what is the worst thing a woman can do that just pisses a man off or you off?
Disrespect me. Yeah, that disrespecting is a bit much.
Yeah.
That talking with that venom, as was pointed out earlier in the night.
Yeah.
That venom, man, that's a little bit too much.
Yeah.
That's a little bit too much. Because the honest truth is, and this is just it, you would, there's a reason to push an old man down a flight of stairs. You're just not supposed to do it. And what I mean by that is the fact that, you know, it was sometimes with that venom, when you think about it, if it was a dude giving you venom like that, you might not stand for that too much longer before them things get happening.
Yeah.
That's just a bottom line, but it's like it's a certain point where, and we've all been in those situations, I think, probably at some point, maybe not being married, but when we were younger, where you were literally trying to take yourself out of a situation, and they're keeping you pinned in the situation where you're just like, well, wait, what in the world?
Mm-hmm.
How can I get out of this? And that's what I'm talking about. I think that is probably the worst thing, because you that's too much venom. It's just too much.
Too much venom.
Yep.
Yeah, when you're, I think for every man who just, if you got to walk in your house and you get disrespected in your own house, that's a problem. That's an issue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of men just can't handle that well. I know I'm not one that can handle it well.
Well, you shouldn't have to handle it.
Right.
I mean, honest truth is you shouldn't have to handle it. And those are the things that, you know, we try to talk about in different ways tonight, is ways that you can address these things. And I think, you know, Rodney was pointing out earlier when he was saying if you saw – There was a glimmer or a flicker of it probably at some point.
Yep.
And you saw it, but you didn't see it. It was like a glitch in the Matrix. You know, it happened so quick with that cat that you almost missed it.
Yeah,
right.
Fact is, it was there. It was there. And
yep.
If you didn't say, wait a minute. And if you just try to just go through it, because you're right. When you're dating and you're courting somebody, it's fun. You'll brush it off because you still going to try to get them cookies later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there it is. But when the jar is empty and you just got this jar there giving you venom, yeah, that's going to
I think the worst thing that a woman can do, and maybe some of y'all can identify with this with people that you know, is when that venom is so bad and they beat you down so long that you just crawl into a corner and stop retaliating.
Mm.
Yeah.
And there's some men that just, I see them, that just, they don't say nothing. Their wife runs the show and they just sit back and be like, I better just keep my mouth shut because I don't feel like
it. Oh, you seen somebody married to my ex-wife, huh?
Wow.
Yeah. But real talk. There are a lot of men that just have been beat down so much by that venom. They're like, you know what? I better just don't come to me because I can't help you. What'd your mother say? You know.
That's just horrible.
It's horrible.
It's like a neutered dog.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
I was
bad
for 9 years.
You know, the effect of mother-in-law's outside influence affect, you know, piss you off when that comes into your relationship, that either your wife goes to their mother or to their sister or anything like that, or just outside issues that's brought into the home. Doesn't that piss you off also? Why are you bringing family there, you know? I know it's your mama and your friends. Why are you bringing that issue into our home? And then you got everybody up there pissed off.
You know, my ex-wife, she bought I don't care what church we went to, she would bring the church into our marriage. My ex-mother-in-law was in our marriage. Family was in our marriage. Friends, everybody was in our marriage. She brought all that mess into our marriage. And, you know, like the brother said, you know, I mean, I wasn't in a corner or anything like that, but it was like, you know, why bother?
Why bother?
You know, it's not even worth it. It's not like I'm going to win. It's not like one day she's going to have a great realization and just like be like, wow, gee, you're right. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's not happening. This person is not changing.
They're not changing. Your only option
God
is.
Changes them.
Yeah, your only option is to divorce them.
Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, and I was raised not believing
like
in divorce, and my parents are still together. They raised me not believing it, you know, not getting a divorce. You know, divorce, you know, is strictly against it. But it was to a point where it was either, you know, lose my sanity and lose myself or get a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, son, with her, go ahead, bro. We
oh, yeah. Oh,
wanted
yeah.
to drive
yeah.
you down there. You need any help? You need any money?
Yeah.
That's bad. Cause I think
I
it can be
people,
dangerous.
Yeah, I was telling people how bad it was. Man. It was like,
yeah.
you need to get out. You know, roll.
Yeah, I think it can be dangerous because, like the brother said, you know, that's your sanity, you know.
That's your sanity.
Yeah,
that's
but the cause of bringing outside into the home, that could change anybody's insanity.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was one time early in my wife and I's relationship where, you know, she'd go to her folks to vent. I would go to my sister and mom and vent. And it was just chaos.
Mm.
It was
That is not healthy.
And
you
we
have
had,
to be
you know,
allowed.
Once we brought in that third party and we were able to realize that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it got to a point where I don't even think we were realizing it. We was just, you know, I leave, I go to, you know, my mom or daddy's house and stay. And she leave, you know, one of those type things. But how that was making the situation worse at that time.
You have to be allowed to be the head of the household, period. Even if you bring in third parties, that's fine. You know, it works for some people to bring in a pastor or a family member or a friend or whoever. That, you know, to each his own as far as that's concerned. But even in doing that, you have to be allowed to allow that man to be the head of household, period. So if there's any women listening to this call on recording or whatever, please keep that in mind. That man is liable to snap, and when he snaps, he's liable to do some things that nobody, including yourself, thought it would be possible.
And that could be nothing but just leak.
You know what? I want to say this, too, about my wife that I'm married to now. You know, even something as simple as signing our names, you know, sometimes she'll catch me and correct me. She was like, no, we have to sign this over because you're the man. You're supposed to sign first.
Mm.
You know, even now, that's how important it is for me to be the man.
That's great.
You know, any woman that's listening, you know, I know y'all got these hyphen names and the man taking y'all last name. Y'all need to.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Need to get on that because that's hard.
Hyphenated man. I think that's a show topic.
Is that a show topic?
I mean, my ex-wife had a hyphenated name.
That's horrible. Or especially when men take the wife's last name.
No, what? You talking about Swiss Beats? Swiss Keys? He was talking about changing his name to Swiss Keys or something.
No,
but that was a big thing. That was a big thing for me and my wife. Before we got married, that you know, there's four girls in our family, no boys, and so they wanted to keep the name alive, so to speak, and wanted to do the hyphen thing. And you know, I completely put my foot down on that one. So that's not happening. If that's not an option for you, then, you know, we not an option for each other.
Wow. That's strong.
Yeah. I like your style.
That's strong.
I mean, yeah. But it's direct.
Yeah. I mean, there's no need in him lying and living with it, knowing he can't
live
with
it. Horrible. Yeah. And have all his boys clowning him behind his back?
Yeah.
No. That's a whole nother topic. You're right. That's a good one.
That's a show topic, man. I think it's on our list, on our to-do list. So, yeah.
That's
my ex-wife has hyphen name. Sure it did.
Wow, that's heavy.
That was heavy. I wasn't prepared for that one, but that was a good one.
Now I could understand. Now, I do see women on, like on Facebook, where they'll put their married name and their maiden name just so
right.
you can identify them. That might
right.
be the only time where it's acceptable.
Correct.
I agree.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, because my wife has in parentheses on Facebook, her maiden name. So, you know, just in case somebody was looking for one of her. And I think one of our old girlfriends found and came to our Christmas party. So just because she put in Sharon Staten, which is her last name. So, you know, it was great.
I think the most common thing is just to drop the middle name and move the last name to the middle name. You know, just move it on over.
Well, my wife didn't even do that. She dropped her last name.
Kind of like sound like it's a rental, man, you know?
She was like, she wanted to get married to a rental. She wanted
like, this is a temporary situation. You know, I know, you know, it might not last. I ain't going to give my everything. I just keep my name.
Right. I don't want people to know that we're one. I want to be my individual person.
I don't want to lose my identity.
Right. We're giving so many points for this topic. We better slow down.
Yeah, we better slow down. Yeah, because there are some really, really hidden agendas.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Satan hates marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Consider the source.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, this one is not for the softest user on the phone. I mean, I'm just going to. This is 10:45, and I'm just going to bring it out. I'm calling this the religious hour, this next 15 minutes. My wife makes mad when we get up on Sunday morning and she doesn't want to go to church. What do you think about it? I mean, is that effective? Is church
she gets mad.
Important? Is
Repeat
church
that again.
Important to you? Because, I mean, I've heard talk to folks where they come in, they're like, you know, I had to wait on the wife. She was taking too long, or I just left her because, you know, I've heard these things from folks. And I was just wondering, so is that a big concern to you? Because to some folks, church, it means a lot to get up on that Sunday morning and make sure we make it, you know, on time to church.
And I think that goes back straight to what we were talking about before, is upbringing. You know, like in my upbringing, we went to church every Sunday. No questions asked. Unless you're throwing up, you lost a limb, or it's 20 feet of snow outside, you know. I don't care how late, you know, if we're in town, if we're at home, you know, my mother would take me and my brother to church. You know, the three of us would go, and then later on in life, my father did. But, you know, on the other hand, my wife, you know, her father is an ordained minister. But they wouldn't, I mean, they did go to church, but not, I don't think on the level that we did. I mean, we literally, and we didn't do anything outside of the Sunday morning experience. You know, we didn't do Wednesday Bible study or, you know, choir night. I mean, we did do choir, but, I mean, it wasn't, you know, the main thing that we did was Sunday morning. Yeah, and on the flip side, you know, their thing, they did, you know, Wednesday, they did Sunday morning, they did Sunday night. And so, but on the times that they didn't go, they were, their communication, what they were talking about was godly stuff. You know, whereas on the flip side, in my house, as a child, you know, we went to school on Sunday. I mean, went to church on Sunday, but the rest of the week, we wouldn't even really talk about God at all. Not at all. But we knew, you know, she definitely wanted to make sure that we were into God and knew about Jesus and all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't in our conversation other than in the church building. You know, whereas my wife, on the other hand, that was in their conversation every day. So, you know, a lot of times, like, I'm like you, Patrice. I'm like, I'll get up and I'm like, yo, you know, let's go, you know, because that's ingrained in me. And I, you know, it's been, you know, a lot of times where I'll be there with my girls, you know, just the three of us, you know, because I want to make sure it's ingrained in them as well, because we talk about, you know, God and the things of God, you know, throughout the week, of course, and we do the Wednesday night, but it's not to the level, you know, that, again, my father-in-law, ordained minister, you know, is talking about it, you know, and in just in just daily experiences, you know, just on a daily basis. So that's why I make it a point to make sure that I'm up and my kids are up and my kids go. And, you know, that's a non-negotiable for me because of my upbringing. You know, whereas on the flip side, my wife is like, you know, God is 7 days a week. You know, we talking about God all the time, you know, as a child and as a youth and all that. So that is really not, I mean, it's important, but it's more important to me because of my upbringing. So,
it's more important to you that you both go, though.
Absolutely, absolutely. Most of that, okay. That's probably, you know, you talk about quality time. You know, my wife told me this week that, you know, she doesn't have to teach on Wednesday. So, you know, I look forward to sitting beside her in Bible study. I mean, on Wednesday night, or you know, if she doesn't have to do anything on Sunday morning. I mean, you talk about quality time. I look forward to just her sitting beside me in church. I mean, and then sometimes, you know, a lot of times, you know, they have me work the door or whatever, but, you know, I've been canceling that, you know, because I like to sit beside my wife, you know, and if y'all noticed that, you know, at our church recently, you know, well, not recently, about a couple of years ago, the pastor took the chairs off the stage and, you know, literally, you know, he was like, I want to sit with my wife, you know, and worship before I get up here and preach. And I was like, I can respect that man for that. I mean, that's good words, you know, just to worship with your wife. And, I mean, that's, you talk about quality time, that's the ultimate right there, worshiping beside your wife.
Yeah. I will piggyback on that a little bit, too, because that's one of the issues that I have. It's not a huge issue, but, again, I've said it several times, I do not like being in church without my wife. And neither one of us really grew up in the church. So, you know, we started going together. So for us, it's kind of like a, you know, a new traditional thing for us. And there's been times where she didn't feel like going and I didn't go. And sometimes that can be an issue.
Yeah.
But then vice versa, there's been times where I didn't feel like going and she didn't go. So, you know, it kind of works both ways. But if I get up to go, I want her to be ready to go. Because I've done it. I've been there by myself a couple times and didn't like it. And it really didn't have much to do with her, but I just didn't like it because this is something that she and I do together. That's our quality time. And then we're there as a family. We're not there as single people.
Right. And I wouldn't say you wouldn't like it, but I mean,
I mean,
you didn't
not
prefer
feel
it.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I didn't like the fact that she wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the service. Love the service. Always love the service. But I didn't like the fact that she wasn't there is what I'm talking about.
Your mom wasn't fully into the service because you were thinking about her not being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it can be detrimental, cause, I mean, because sometimes you can miss your message.
You know,
because you're thinking about other things.
You right in my old driveway. I moved out of that house, but my ex-wife, we used to go to church separately, and you know, we would even go to separate churches.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
That was church is one of the main reasons for our divorce.
I'd like to hear a little bit more on that one, brother, if you don't mind.
Well, my wife, my ex-wife at the time, she was very, she lost herself in her religion.
Oh,
and she let it dictate her existence. And at the time, you know, I was in the military, you know, I had to go away for a year. And she got wrapped up in this church, and they had, you know, taken advantage of her. You know, they told her they found a husband for her in New Orleans and all this stuff, and you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. So when I got back, you know, I paid these people some money under the table, and then they convinced my wife, my ex-wife, that it was good for her to move to North Carolina with me. And so I left California. We moved to North Carolina as a couple, you know, as husband and wife still.
Sure.
And got out of that environment, but it was still, we were still going separate. You know, I would check the church out, and it was like these people with these cultish motives, they could weed her out. They could find her. I mean, they just had a knack for finding people whose will was, you know, I don't want to say weak or, but people who were susceptible to falling, you know, into that type of lifestyle. And they would just, they could pick her out of a crowd. I mean, we go to the grocery store. I couldn't even take her to the grocery store. And, you know, I see some strange woman talking to her and stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, and she's like, well, you know, we have this church over here, and we go there, and it's a trailer. You know, and it's like, come on, man. This has got to stop. But, you know, that's what I was dealing with. So, yeah, y'all definitely, you know, I would recommend y'all work out going together because it's important to go together. Never go separate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Under any circumstances.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, guys, I think the only time that my wife doesn't go with me, and I can respect it because she got to work on Sundays.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If she's not with me, that means she's at work, you know. But if I'm there, she's usually there. Because she, one thing I can, you know, I can tell that I love about my wife is if I put it in a sports term, she's a team player. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where I go, she won't go.
Mm-hmm.
Where she wants to go, she wants me to go with her. You know, she wants it to be a, even sometimes when I don't want to go, I'll go. But and even then, sometimes when she don't want to go, she'll go because she looks as us as not only linked as one, but as like I said, if you put it in basketball terms, team player. Now, she may not want to get involved and all the things that I might commit myself to. But she's right there on the right-hand side of me, you know, helping me out, making sure I'm there, making sure I'm on time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Hey, guys. I want to let you know we got a new listener on, and he's a friend of mine, BP Odom, listening online. And give him a good shout-out.
Oh, that's what's up. Welcome, brother.
Welcome.
Come again. Good words.
Yeah. It's. I hear you, Patrice, because mine is the same way. She doesn't, she'll help out, but that's not her thing. You know, she'll support me. She won't get in my way if I sign up to help out in the church, but, you know. And I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with that.
My thing is just on Sundays, let's
gotta make it a
point. And you know, and that's good. You know your wife, you know your mate, and if your mate can handle, you know, your arrangement, then you know that's good. You know, if you have a teammate and someone that supports you, then that's what's up. You know, ain't throwing no animosity or anything like that. Then, you know, that's valuable.
Yeah, and you just said a mouthful, brother, because I really believe that if we take the extra 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or 10 years to know who we're married to, it'll alleviate a lot of the drama. Because a lot of times we come into the situation and we make demands. Well, this is what my mama did, this is what my last girl did, and it's what I need you to do.
Right.
They may not, that may not be their thing. So then they're doing it just to shut you up, you know. And you know, if they can show support, just like my wife, I said, come on and get on the women's call, and you know, she's like, well, no, I'd just rather support you on your call. I can't argue with that.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't argue with that. I mean, because you know, as long as she stays in her custom, in her comfort zone, puts me in a better place. When they get outside of that comfort zone, and all that venom starts to run rampant.
Yep.
Good words.
Got to play to your strengths.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine is on the women's call now. I mean, she sits out there. She's on the chat room because she's doing some other things, but she enjoys the call now. Where, you know, at the beginning, she would get on for a few minutes, get off, do her thing, say, go ahead, y'all do y'all thing. But then she started, it was like, when once we had our first co-ed call, it was on and popping for her. She enjoyed it. She enjoys the conversation. And then she enjoys me. I think she also enjoys this conference call because she enjoys me being happy too. And she sees the excitement that I have in this call. And, you know, we keep this up for another 20 years, we probably have to go down the aisle one more time. I mean, hey, but, I mean, it's just, you know, it's the real talk right there, man. It's just, once you get through the drama and the hate that this conference call tonight is about, getting rid of the hate and why my wife is getting on my nerves, all that stuff we find out is just, it's short. It's short-term. It's a quick way to express yourself angrily.
Mm-hmm.
And once you become saved and you come more into the Bible and you're more with God, you understand that you know how to control that anger more and enhance it in different ways. And one of the ways is this call. So, you know, I would encourage y'all guys to try, take time. We have co-ed calls. Let your wife come with you on the call and just see how much she might enjoy it, and then listen to the call. You know, even you on this call, just listen in. And then you end up finding out that you could be more of yourself, even with her on the phone. And you won't get into much trouble off the phone you put too much up there in the street.
Good word.
But this is a fun thing. It's 11 o'clock. I had a couple more things I want to talk about, but because this call is for all of us, if you want to go to open mic, we can go to open mic now, or we can just keep it moving. It's a great call, but I want to hear from the gallery. What do y'all think? What do you want to do?
It's up to you, Mr. Host. We can keep it moving.
I'm going to keep it moving because I got one more thing. And it goes back to team players. Does it make you mad when your wife is not a team player? I can't say no because my wife is a team player. But is there anybody out there that we ringing on the doorbell that sometimes they think that their wife is not a team player when it comes to certain decisions they make or groups of friends they want to hang around or going to job events? They just don't want to be bothered with your friends but want you to be bothered with theirs.
My wife is not a team player. Only when she feels like I'm showing my fraternity too much attention.
Ooh.
This same fraternity that has all the lavish events that she loves to dress up and go shopping for and go to, she can hate at the drop of a dime if she feels like I'm showing it too much attention. So I have to be careful with the balance there.
So you're putting the fraternity on the higher pedestal than what she is.
That's what she feels. And you all know how dicey that could be.
Yep. Yeah.
And you know how quickly and easily they can jump to that conclusion.
Yep. Yeah. Tone said it early. He gets cold shouldered when he goes to bed when he's on the call too long.
sleep shoulder.
Yeah, he gets turned out on PJs. I mean, my wife will get mad. She'll get mad if I remember a fraternity function. And she's like,
wow.
Amazing. You can't remember nothing that I want you to remember. But as soon as it's for your fraternity, you can remember. And, you know, and I don't even feel like going into the fact, well, you know, I just looked at my phone and looked at my calendar and I saw it right here. But, you know, you know, some battles, no need to fight in that.
Yeah, I mean, but again, see, that right there is an issue for me. And the reason why I say that is because we need our stuff. Whatever your stuff is, as a man, we need it. If yours is your fraternity, if mine is my golf, if somebody else is their NFL network, whatever it is, it's not in place of them.
Video games.
They don't understand, man.
They don't understand. I mean, again, you'll be in a better if they're again if they're women listening. You put yourself in a better position if you let him have his stuff. If it's not another woman, if it's not any kind of pornography, if it's not any kind of addictive thing, then let him have his stuff.
That's
a problem.
True.
I would say that it has to be a maturity level, too, because one thing about it, I think that it wouldn't be an issue. Like, you wouldn't be, you know, playing golf six nights a week or on the video game.
No.
All up in, you know, all kinds of night if she was taking care of hers.
Right.
You know, so I think that, you know, if she's mature enough to say, hey, you know, he can have that video game, but I know he's not going to be playing six, seven nights a week. He's going to be spending time with me.
I tell you what, if you go get that Xbox Kinect, you and your wife would play it more than a week.
We've been playing it, you know, all week.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have to, you know, respect that. You know, and like the brother said, I mean, just let him have it. And then when it's abused, then it's got to be some consequence. You can't have something that takes you away from your family or kids or whatever for an extended period of time, all the time. I mean, that's just not appropriate.
But I would even take it a step further. I would encourage women on the call that are listening to try to understand why he values whatever that is. Get a better understanding and appreciation for why that's important to him. You know, yes, let him have it, but you need to understand why he even wants to be a part of it. Like, essentially, all the individuals that I know, I'm not in a fraternity, but I know most of the individuals that joined the fraternity participated or in some capacity, there was something about it that, you know, attracted them to him with regards to the service, the commitment towards networking, all the different things that were going on, and that still holds true even as they mature and get older and get seasoned in their lives. You know, but some people don't understand, like, why that's important. They don't understand necessarily that there's an extreme amount of intelligence and strategy that goes into golf. And that really takes a person that is skilled. I'm not just talking about going out and hitting balls at the range. I'm talking about actually playing. I mean, that's a skill. And it's challenging, and it's something that really requires a special mindset to be able to go do that. And if you want to be challenged in that capacity, that may be the sport or for you. You know, and same thing. It's a huge component to it. You got to understand why, and it just. I think the big part too that we're is don't dismiss it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you dismiss it and you try to make it it's better than it's higher than me or it's you value this more than me. I mean, that's a real easy, superficial way to dismiss it instead of really trying to get to the gist of why does he value doing this so much?
Exactly.
Yep.
I mean, and again. It's all the things that we've talked about on this call and several other calls. That's intimate, you know, and men need that. I mean, when you want to know about something that I really get excited about that's not pornography, it's not other women, it's not drugs or alcohol, that's intimate because, wow, you're asking me questions about something. As we talked about, men and women are different. Women are going to come to you, and they're going to talk to you about this stuff and just give it to you, even when you might not necessarily want it. But as a guy, you know, if you come and ask me some questions about something, wow, okay, well, let me explain to you. Let me talk you through why this is relevant to me, why I find value in it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. True.
So that's just the other piece. I'm sorry, but that, I mean, the only reason I said that is because real early in our relationship, my now wife, but girlfriend at the time, tried to dismiss video games. And that, till this day, just gets me a little bit. It's better now, but just try to dismiss it because, and I think one of the things, as you guys pointed out, is she's gotten involved with it now. You know, we can play with it. You know, we can do this, and she understands that I value, you know, every time I want to be close with her and intimate with her, it's not about me taking her upstairs. It's something about, hey, let's play this video game. You know, this is what I do to relax, and I enjoy, and wow, you want to be a part of this too. It's no different than me going to Target with her.
Wow.
Because that's what she loves to do.
He just said a lot.
Yeah, when I go to Target and I'm sitting in there and I'm holding a list and crossing off the item and pushing the cart and our daughter's sitting in the cart and I'm handing her things and we reach it, she's eating it up.
That's right.
Now, I'm not dismissing it. I'm finding value in it. Now, I'm not going to go every time, but I will go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a balance. It's a balance.
Balance is the key word. Good word.
Yeah, and also, I think it's very important. And I know we talked about shopping. We use shopping as maybe a hobby for the wife. I think it's important for them to have their stuff too.
Yep.
Whatever it is. Because if they don't have nothing and we got our stuff, there's going to be a clash.
Yes, it is.
Because they're sitting around waiting for us to be up under them. Because they've got nothing to do other than the normal.
Yep.
You know,
but
so,
I have to say, when I used to go and play golf on a couple of things, my wife would come with me, and all she wanted to do was just roll the cart and laugh at me with my slice shot.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was fun to her.
Yeah.
Just driving the cart.
Yeah. But to me, that sounds like a putt-putt outing, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have your stuff, a lot of times when we have our time, it's our time. And you got to have that time where she's just not allowed.
Right.
I think. She ain't going to be allowed for, you know, my wife won't, she's not coming with me on the golf course. I don't invite her. Because that's me and the fellas.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Or to the sports bar. To you know, to watch the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. They're,
you know, I got five or six or seven fellas, and, you know, hey, you know, it's where I'm going to be. You know, I'll be here. But this is going to be our time.
Yep. Good words.
Yeah, because one thing I can say about my wife, now, she did pull a Shaquille O'Neal box out mode on me on one thing. Because, well, you know, I grew up and this was just a family tradition where, you know, and up to my grandmother passed away, I think I just graduated from college, and she passed away, she always had the Christmas dinner at her house, and all of the family would come up there and we would eat Christmas dinner at her house. And that was one thing I didn't never wanted to stop. We couldn't do it in our first house, so my mom did it at her house. And then once we were able to move to a bigger house, we started that tradition. I said, Mom, I'm going to take on this tradition, and I'm going to add in, you know, some more folks. And we did it out of her house. It was a nice-sized house, but we had to do it in the garage because that was the biggest area we could do it in. And, you know, it took on. Once it was something that she, you know, it was exciting to her. She got her family involved, and then now we have merged two different families. And it's way bigger than a family reunion to us. And then we now to say this is our Christmas present to both of our families. Where now she's been bullying me out the way. She buys all the food. She sets it up, sends out all the mail. And I better not, and when she's cleaning up, I better not put a piece of dirt on the floor at Christmas time. But then that's her excitement. That's her joy. It's entertaining people. And so when she has those opportunities, you can just, once you see the excitement in your wife and the things that you find out that they love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh man.
Yeah.
They'll let you do anything you want to do. Once you can get them in that excitement, let them do the things that they love. Other than spend $1 million shopping.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right.
Ooh.
Well, good show,
else?
Brother. Good
hey,
show.
I have one more thing that I wanted to talk about, but you know what? I'm going to hold off because this is going to come up in next week's topic. And next week's topic is my man Rodney's topic, the marriage I've always wanted, a new marriage in the new year. That's going to be next week. So a lot of this stuff we're talking about now, we want to bring into next week's topic. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to shut this thing down, and we're just going to go on in the open mic and just let it rip. I want to thank everybody for spending their Tuesday nights again in this new year with us and coming on each week. The ones that are dedicated comes on this week. But what we need you to do is to show this excitement to other folks. Let's try to, you know, continue to try to get one person on. We know that they say, yeah, we're going to come on, but they never do. But if there's a way that you can take this recording and play it at work at lunchtime and just play it out loud and let people say, what you listening to?
Mm-hmm.
That'll help us out a lot. That'll just give us a little bit more advertisement. We're using advertisement as the people, you know, words of mouth and then a little advertisement by using Facebook and stuff like that. If that works for you, if you have any other ideas that will help us broaden these calls and we can get some more insight from other folks, please let us know. But again, thank you for joining us, and I'm going to cut this recording off, and we're going into open mic.